Hi, welcome back. As a result of the holidays, it's been like 2 weeks since my last post. So let me take a moment to review where we are in this series on grace and faith. God's grace is all about what He has given us as a free gift if we would only by faith receive it. The key is to recognize that faith does not create the hope of a good outcome. It's grace that creates the outcome and faith which brings it into reality. See, we release our faith in what God, through Jesus Christ, has made available to us. Grace means that we receive that which we don't deserve and at the same time give to the Lord that which we did deserve. We receive His righteousness or the right standing with God. Our position has changed. And we give to Jesus the punishment that we deserve because of our sinfulness. The scriptures tell us that none of us are righteous in our own merit or behavior. Romans 3:23 says all, that means everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Now, this is where the idea of an exchange takes place. By our faith in Jesus Christ alone, we receive all the blessings and pass on to Jesus all of our sins and the consequences of our sin. Now, what's important to understand is that we're talking about spiritual things. They're not necessarily all natural things. You see, the spiritual realm is much more important than the physical because the spiritual is eternal, whereas the physical is temporal or temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that. As Christians, we live in the kingdom of God. While here we're still on earth, but we live in that kingdom. Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 makes that very clear to us. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And we know that being born again is a spiritual experience. And then further on in John 3 again, but verse 5, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You see, His kingdom is in us. In Luke 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." In other words, it's not something you can see with your physical eyes. "Nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is inside. Jesus took our sins and He gave us His forgiveness. As we mentioned in the last post, in the first exchange of grace that we received by faith, and that first exchange was Jesus took our sin and He gave us forgiveness. The Apostle Paul states the following in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Now, how can we be reconciled to God? Well, now we find out in verse 21. "For He made Him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Sometimes we have to make sure that we understand the difference between sin, the symptom, and sin, the root cause of sin. Instead of covering over sin as in the old covenant, Jesus took our sins and He replaced our sin nature with the Holy Spirit who is righteous. You see, when the acts of sin are just simply the symptoms of the sin nature. But because we are born again, and His Spirit has been placed in us, that sin nature has been defeated and destroyed. Today, we're going to look at the second example of the gift of grace that we receive by faith. And that is, Jesus took our death that we might have His life. The scriptures tell us, "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son." In other words, because of Jesus' death on the cross and his burial and resurrection, We have been reconciled with the Father. But then what this scripture is saying is that how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? And I'd encourage you to examine Romans 5:10 and also Hebrews 2:9 and study that on your own. You see, because we've been forgiven, we're reconciled with God. Our position has changed. We are no longer estranged from God. And God's intent is that we live with him forever. And that was his intention in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Now, remember Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, speaking of Adam, of every tree of this garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, what did God mean when he said, you shall surely die? Well, we have to remember that we are spiritual beings. You know, I like to use the expression that I've heard, that we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we're actually spiritual beings having a human experience. When God created mankind, he created them as triune beings. That means there's a spirit, soul, and body. Now, again, I would encourage you to examine these three scripture verses for more information about that. In Genesis 2:7, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and Hebrews 4:12. Now, in the Garden of Eden, before sin, mankind was to live in fellowship with God for eternity. But when Adam and Eve sinned, death crept in. Normally, when we think of death, we think of physical death. And physical death is a separation from the body. But Adam and Eve continued to live until they were like 930 years old. Genesis 5:5 tells us that. So what did God mean, you shall surely die? Now, I believe that he was speaking of spiritual death or separation from God. After all, doesn't sin separate us from God? We learn that from Adam and Eve's behavior. After they recognized their disobedience, they separated themselves or they hid themselves from God. Don't we do the very same thing? Now, when we say that Jesus took our death and gave us life, what we really mean is that spiritually he took our death and gave us life. We are restored and reconciled with God the Father. And we will live eternally with him in heaven. Now, why does Jesus make this gift of grace available to us? It's because we agree with him when he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there is no other way. Now, others may claim they know the way. But you've decided and you've accepted by faith that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And because of our faith in Jesus and what he did for us, we can release the fear of death because it's been swallowed up by life in Christ, which is eternal. Now, the Amplified Bible puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 53. For this perishable, the part of us, that perishable, the part that will die, must put on the imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality. Immortality means freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, in other words, that which is capable of dying puts on the freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever into victory. Verse 55 says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Verse 56 says, Now sin is the sting of death, and the sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. That's what Romans tells us. We are more than conquerors because of the love of God that he has for us. Amen. Our trust is in the one who is alive. For Jesus rose again, and because we know that he lives, we can be confident that we will live too. And as a result of that, the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, and this should be our motto or our code of life as well. And he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You have so much value to God because he sent his Son to die for you on the cross so that you might live eternally with him. And not only that, but all the blessings of heaven are made available to you as a free gift. And all you need to do in order to receive that gift is to believe upon the one who is the gift giver, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen? And so I want to encourage you in this word and encourage you that you would be diligent to recognize what is yours through the scriptures and how to receive that by faith. Amen? God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.